Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana. And today we have a lot to talk about. But Sammy, how was your trip?
It was really good, uneventful. Thankfully.
That's good.
It was pretty fast. I don't really, have much to report. I'm trying to think like there was anything that eventful, but there really wasn't. I met a lot of Avi's cousins who I hadn't met, and that was very fun because they're, kind of around our age, and they can hang. So that was a good time. And it was just,
chill times.
Good, solid trip.
Did you do any touristy stuff that you haven't done before?
Not one touristy thing at all.
Well, you went to a spa that you've never been, right?
Is that a touristy?
Call that touristy.
You know, spa jumping?
I went to a hotel.
Oh, I thought it was like a fancy spa.
Well, there is a fancy spa at the hotel, but it's like a spa hotel vibe, wellness is their whole. They have they had a calendar of activities that you could do. And Avi obviously ate that up. He went to the sound bowls. He went to the meditation class. He went to the yoga,
so
the Pilates.
Did you go?
It was like a Real Housewives trip.
No, what did you do?
Any of that. I sat at the pool. I sat at the pool in our room. I read. I scrolled on my phone.
All your favorite activities.
I slept. I had an Aperol spritzes.
That does sound nice.
It was, it was great.
Was the food wellnessy?
Not wellnessy, but definitely upscale and, sophisticated. Uh-huh. So it's remote. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nowhere else. There's a kibbutz nearby. Ooh. That actually is where they get
that's
all
where you
the,
should
like,
go next time.
Stuff.
That's cool.
And they employ.
I don't think you'd like it on a kibbutz.
Cool. I mean, you could do. I don't think so either. You could do it. You know how my mom went to sleepaway camp in Switzerland?
Yes. That is
her
the bougiest thing about you, even. That's the bougiest thing about you as well.
So my grandparents gave her the option between going to a kibbutz and going to Swiss camp. And she chose the Swiss camp.
Yeah, of course.
Sammy, I do feel like the fact that your mom went to sleepaway camp in Switzerland should knock you down a number on the self-made scale.
I agree.
I feel like that makes you maybe more of a 7.
Okay.
Than an 8.
What do you think about the fact that my dad drove a cab to put himself through dental school and didn't pay off his loans till I was 15?
I don't know. So your mom going to Switzerland camp might cancel that out, and then they're maybe bad.
It might. Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. All the privilege that is encapsulated in me comes from my mom going to Swiss camp. That's the whole thing. Here's the thing. I don't think it was as.
It would cancel it out if you drove
unattainable.
The cab. If you drove the cab, then it would be canceled out. But because
I did drive
your
my grandpa's
experience
Lincoln.
Is of both of them and dad Pat after he did his thing.
Well, there's just a lot of interesting dynamics. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting.
Anyway, so you went to the spa hotel
to come from
in Israel.
So we went to the spa hotel.
They didn't have fries at the pool if you're saying it's all elevated, right? Because that's the best.
No, you also couldn't have food to your seat. You had to eat in the little pool beach bar. Ultimately, that didn't deter me from having a very good experience there.
Okay.
It was very, very nice and just very quiet. You don't feel that there's a lot of people around. They had stargazing. They have live music, cocktails at the sunset. It's just very, it's very natural, but obviously extremely
curated,
nice, catered to you. Yeah. But it was nice because the first half of the trip was very intense, meeting a lot of family, all that stuff. But yeah, after that, it was fun.
Sounds nice.
That's great.
How are you guys? Are you excited for?
We're fine.
We're the same.
Aileen, are you excited to host Labor Day
soiree
gathering?
Yes.
Do you want me to call it a party?
Well, like, no, you could call it a party, but it's really just like all of our friends coming.
That sounds like a party.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, you know how like
she's my like, first, no one important is coming except for all of our friends.
You know, like the first one I did where it was like a mix of like everybody possible, like yeah. children, dogs, Rusty's friends, our friends, my neighbor. It was like a block party, essentially. This is just right. our friends. I'm excited. Can you guys bring some faux pas? I'm out.
I only have the vodkas left, but
can
I will
bring tequilas. I'm out of tequilas.
Wait, I also am basically out of the tequilas.
I'm out of the tequilas.
Okay, so
all right.
I'll bring what we have. Same.
We'll figure it out.
We could also purchase some at retail, honestly.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. Let's do some celebrity news. This is a full packed week of celeb news. Wouldn't you say so?
I would. Where should we start?
Let's talk about Leo. He hasn't been in the headlines for a bit.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't know that he was dating the person that he broke up with. Like, I thought he didn't have a girlfriend. I thought he was just like dating a bunch of people.
No, he's had this girl for a while, 4 years.
Did you know her name? Like, yeah. If someone said her name, would you be like, oh, yes. That's Leo's girlfriend?
Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Yes, totally. I don't know what she does. She's like a model.
They're all models.
She's like probably not all fully developed in her career yet. Well, she's 24.
She's going to be 25. And it goes to with that, the theory that he will not date anybody who's 25. However, it is rumored he's with Gigi now.
How old is she?
27.
And how old is she? 30?
Oh, wow.
And she has a kid.
Where did you see this rumor?
On the internet.
Instagram?
My sources.
What part of the internet?
All parts.
A meme? It was a meme.
No, like I follow a bunch of like people who like report
Reddit?
News. No, I don't read Reddit unless they email me something.
They do that sometimes. That's how they suck you in. So I could see Leo and Gigi. And you know, it is a little bit of improvement. It's still quite a big age gap.
I can't
but
see
also they've both been famous
that
for
lasting.
So long.
Has he ever dated someone on like a somewhat equal or somewhat, not even age-wise, but like fame-wise to him? Like who's the last person that he dated that was as somewhat had a recognizable name to the public that didn't have to do with dating him?
The last person who comes to mind for that relationship for him was Bar Raffaele.
John says Giselle.
Yeah, I was going to say Giselle. He was with Giselle.
That must have been a while ago.
I would say those are the most.
Naomi Campbell, he dated in 95.
I don't remember. I wouldn't.
He dated Blake Lively.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
She was 24. It was in 2011.
Huh.
And he dated Nina Agdal, also under 25. And now, do you know who she's with?
No, who?
One of the Pauls, you know, either Logan or Paul. Paul. What's his first name?
Tyler.
Logan or
Adam.
No.
Someone who's a surf. Someone who's a snowboarder?
No, I know Aaron. No. One of the YouTube people.
Logan, the other one.
Whatever.
Or she's with Logan. Doesn't
Logan
matter.
Paul.
Here's your pop culture experts on the At Betches
podcast. I mean,
here's
the thing. I really am so bad with names. You know that. Like, I couldn't get Kaia Gerber last time, remember? But I could like play that game. What's that game with like celebrity?
Movie game.
Yes, I love that.
Love the movie game.
No, not that game. You know the one where you're like supposed to like come up with all of like the things about someone and then somebody else gets their name?
21
like,
questions.
Sort of. Yeah, like that. I could play that, but I have to be on the hint side, not the name side.
Okay.
So like code names.
That's the thing about me.
Or monikers. Wait, just going back to Leo's relationships. I feel that the more recent his relationships have been, the less relevant the women have been and the less, not legit, but I don't know, equal they've felt. But I could be wrong. I don't know anything about these women mostly.
It says in 2015 he dated Rihanna.
Maybe they were just like spotted together. Maybe they were hooking up.
Maybe they were just hooking up.
Hooking up. Yeah. And yeah, he dated also, yeah, 2003 he dated Giselle. Paris Hilton, 2000, which I do not remember.
That's even when's the most recent one that we of were
also
fame?
Like in fifth grade. Camila
Morone.
Oh, that's Rihanna in 2015, according to this chart.
Do they really date? I feel like I would remember that if they truly dated. Like I'm calling dating for the purposes of this discussion, like he took them to a red carpet event.
You don't think it should be like a relationship.
Giselle, they were.
Or you're saying like appearances. Saying
that to me is the most. I'm publicly saying I'm with this person, as opposed to maybe they're just hooking up.
Very public with this Camila girl.
Yeah, but that was a long relationship.
They were pictured canoodling somewhere other than a yacht.
Yes. Mostly, yeah. Like on the streets.
But okay, here's the thing.
She came to awards shows.
Think about like ourselves up till 25. Maybe she broke up with him. She was like, me, I'm, you know, this worked for my young self that was immature. And now I'm really looking for a guy who's going
to
be my partner for life.
Who
sort
wants
of like
to have
how
a family, a maybe. Lot of, yeah.
I mean, I think 25 is when
maybe that's true.
A lot of women start to sort of switch their dating priorities.
Cortex is developed.
Yeah, that. But also people start to sort of switch their priorities in dating. Jordana, we have dating expert Jordana Abraham here who can tell us all about that, you know, from a scientific perspective. But I do feel like, anecdotally from what we can see, that's like how things tend to happen. So wouldn't that be ironic?
If they're the ones breaking up with him.
This is the most recent relationship and it was like a real one because it was 4 years. So I'm saying, wouldn't it be ironic if everyone's joking about how like Leo like breaks up with everyone after 25, but really she broke up with him and maybe like a lot of them break up with him after 25.
Maybe these girls are like, I can rent a car. I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, this article says that he was with Giselle for 5 years, but that was obviously a really long time ago.
I also have this feeling that like Leo isn't exactly monogamous with anyone that he's with. So I do just kind of feel like it's not like a traditional relationship that's completely exclusive. That's just my hunch. Just based on like his lifestyle of like a lot of like partying, a lot of, again, like just being on yachts with a lot of young, attractive women.
I don't see him on yachts with a lot of people.
I feel like
I only
that's all
pictures
I ever
of yachts
see.
With one person. I've never seen
group I've seen
yacht
many
pictures
of Leo on yachts with multiple young
she's
women.
She has an album in her phone.
Leo on yachts with multiple young women.
Every few months or year or so, you see Leo in a paparazzi situation that not one that he called himself. And it's always like a party. It's Coachella or it's a yacht or it's like Saint-Tropez or it's somewhere literally, or maybe that's just the Taylor Swift lyric or that made me think that. But it is real that he's always sort of like partying. He's never in like, it's never like, oh, Leo spotted getting a casual, I guess they do kind of spot him.
Never
getting.
Like a George Clooney-esque, you know, he's vacationing one-on-one, solo. There's no one else around them in a truly, again, one-on-one romantic kind of way. Even the fact that he doesn't really bring that many people to red carpet events is sort of like, this isn't really like, you aren't like the only person in my life. I always get that vibe.
Right. He's always like at a party. You can usually find Leo at a party.
Yeah. I wonder why that is. I would love to be a fly on the wall in a therapy session with Leo about what he wants out of dating and relationships.
Me too. I'm so curious. Maybe he could come on You Up.
That would be incredible. I have a feeling that's not going to happen. But, you know, we can dream.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bace, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bace. I love my Bace. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about, having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bace allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bace has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bace has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bace has your personal items covered. Right now, Bace is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Did you guys watch Serena Williams last night playing tennis?
I did.
For sport.
And Mike put it on. And I don't usually like watching sports, but I was sort of like captivated by watching this tennis game. It was a really good game.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were so many games that you had to win to beat someone. There's so many games. I'm like, oh my God, how tired was these people?
We went to the US Open like so many times.
That was one. We went one time. It was years ago. And I
guess I
don't think
I've gone with Sammy many times.
Yeah, we've gone many times.
I'm going on Monday.
Oh, are you? I've been considering it, but it seems really hot. It's like, me, my mom and I keep saying we're going to go, but it's too hot. Wait, so men play even more games. You know, they have to do five sometimes.
I don't get it. I feel like I don't want to come into the sport and just start editing things. But if it were up to me, I would say, you know, one game up to 10, maybe two. I just, or two up to seven. One set. Yeah.
So maybe
to 10 games.
I'm going to submit. I don't think there's too many games. We can't have like, what is it? You have to win 18 games. That's insane.
You don't have to win 18 games. You actually really only technically have to win 12 games. If you,
that's still a lot.
Yeah, but
no,
that's
but
like
really
a match
not, because
I think that's how you really truly like match the skill, because part of it is the combination of like endurance and like,
yeah. And you have to like beat the game. Like
there's like mind games to it. It's really
beating. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's really
and like beating the other person's serve. Like there's,
it's okay, very,
well, having watched one match.
Strong
I think I am qualified, picture at the US Open once.
I think I'm qualified to suggest a change of the structure.
I'm like really mad at myself that I did not know that it was on.
Well, good thing she has another game you can watch.
Yeah, I have to. When is that?
Friday.
Tonight?
No. She's playing, Friday? I think, doubles tonight. with Venus. And then Friday is tomorrow is another singles. And I mean, she's amazing. But here's the thing. I'm confused why people are so surprised that she's doing so well. Like yesterday, she beat the number two seed. Well,
do you listen to the voiceover? The people who are the announcers sometimes, over the game?
Okay. I have been listening to them. And I think, okay, if I'm going to change the game, I think we could get some better voiceover people. Because I think they
John
are
McEnroe?
Just... It is John McEnroe.
No, it's a woman. I hear a woman.
There's a woman and John
McEnroe.
On whatever
McEnroe. Channel I'm listening
Chrissy?
To. Oh, is that who it is?
Is that her name?
I couldn't see, you can't see them. You only just see the voiceover.
Right. Chrissy who?
Right.
She said she used to play tennis. That's all. I feel like I'm listening to a podcast when I'm
assuming
watching.
It's Chris
Chrissy
Everett.
Everett.
Yeah. McEnroe and Chris
She's a
Everett.
Tennis player.
Yeah. So I'm a very
she
legendary
a former number one tennis
yeah,
player.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So that's who it is. But they're calling her Chrissy, I guess. I didn't catch that was, but I assumed it was her. So ultimately, I just don't love their commentary, to be honest, but that's irrelevant. I'm just surprised that people are so surprised that she's doing so well, because just because she's old, like Tom Brady's old and he's still winning. Like lots of really amazing athletes can play until they're 40. And it's not really that shocking to me that she's doing this well, but it's great, but I'm unsurprised.
Yeah. Well, the commentary, again, I don't really watch tennis often. So I found the commentary, just to give context, interesting. Yeah.
So how is it as a first-timer?
What did you find interesting? What?
The way that they're describing what, they're basically like, you know, people used to be really scared of her and now they're less scared. Like they're still like, they think she's amazing. They think she's incredible, but she doesn't seem as unbeatable as she used to. Back when she was, I don't know, maybe again, 10 years ago, she's been playing. She won her first US Open in 1999.
Right. She won several in a row.
Yeah. So I think it used to just be you were terrified to play her. And now it's there is a shot you can beat her. Like she didn't last night was a very good game, but she didn't completely destroy the opponent. It felt well matched.
I think the case with most tennis players who have a period of time where they're unbeatable. And
right.
Towards the end of their career, they become, there's a lot younger people
that
come
sense.
In and are just even Federer, he's beatable now.
100%. And I think that's just what they were saying. And again, not having any context to the game, I found that helpful to contextualize everything that was going on. That was one of my thoughts. And also, I mean, she's playing a 26-year-old and they just kept saying she's had a baby. She's married now. She's going to be 41 next month. So it's extremely impressive that she's doing this, but they were saying everyone really respects her. Everyone thinks she's incredible, but there's not among the younger players. There's not this feeling of I'm terrified to play her because you do feel like it's possible to beat her.
Well, this is where that was the second round. My feeling on that is that I agree. Maybe the younger players aren't as scared of her, but this is where it is a mind game. I think where it's she knows this is her last match, and that's always sort of been her thing, it's a mental struggle for her. And that's why she's also been controversial at times, because there's been times where she got really frustrated.
She also took
and that's
the year
why
off.
I think there's sometimes controversy around. Right, exactly. Yeah. So seeing her win, it feels feels right.
But it's
it
also
right to me.
People are paying close attention to her because this is the year she's retiring. That's right. Okay. So I feel like I'm just embarrassed. As somebody who used to go to the US Open every year, I should know.
You should have been me.
I should have known.
Been you.
But it's just, this is the first rat. This has just started.
What if she had lost and you missed your last chance to watch her play?
I just have this feeling she's going to make it think that she's going to make it till the end?
I think she'll make it till the end. She just beat the number two player, so.
Okay. Who's number one right now?
We'll see.
Tennis is a really fun game to watch. Did you guys know that? No, yeah. I hate going to sporting events, just generally speaking, and I've never watched one on TV when I didn't have money on it. But I it's like,
for the
it's
love
very,
of the game.
Intense. I don't know. It was cool.
Fun. It doesn't stop.
Tennis is my favorite.
Baseball is terrible to watch. I've been to two baseball games in the past few years and they're horrible.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
So slow.
But speaking of Serena, she was the first guest on Meghan Markle's new podcast, Archetypes.
Yes.
And there is so much to say about Meghan Markle right now, because both her podcast. So she's now had two episodes of this new podcast. The first one was Serena Williams. The second guest was Mariah Carey. And there was just this article about her in The Cut, which obviously goes along with the podcast. So did you guys, did either of you read it?
I read the highlights on your Instagram, half of the highlights. I got distracted.
Well, Sammy, you were a very good ad for that article because I saw your highlights and then I was like, I need to read this whole thing.
I didn't read it, but I also was waiting for this episode for you to explain it.
It's hard to explain the article, like in a summary, I think.
What was the point of the article? To do a profile of her?
Yes, is a profile. Uh-huh.
And what was the consensus? Like, what was the general vibe?
I think that what The Cut does so well is that they're very good. If you've read a Cut profile, of a person, they're very good at like capturing the nuances of someone, both why they're really interesting and good and have made an impact, and also some of the things that people dislike about them and like some of their maybe like hypocrisies, or maybe it's like not
why they're polarizing,
or just shortcomings, whatever it is. Yeah, why they're polarizing. So I thought that this was a little bit, you know, it was not a puff piece.
Definitely not.
What did they say that was negative?
It's almost more that the way the things that they allude than the things that they say. Well, they said the bachelor, like she has the voice of a bachelor producer in her head. The way they described her home and the way they bought it, it's a little bit like passive aggressive.
Yeah, it was.
I would say.
I read that for the first half of Sammy's highlights. Yeah.
Like if someone wrote that about me, I would think they were making fun of me, which I think she kind of was, but not in a blatant way. Do you know what I'm saying?
It was like a judgy way. Like she went to the house judging.
Yeah. And I mean, it was an accurate judge. I would have felt the same way.
Remember in Succession when Kenyon, oh my God.
Kendall.
I told you I'm so bad at names. And I've watched that show how many times? Kendall sits down with that reporter and he's like, are you writing down how I'm eating my salad? Yes. Like that's how like those reporters go about it. I'm sure that was like a Cut type of profile. It's like they walk in and like just use the context or like the background of what they're doing as like as a way to judge them. Like they take their whole background, the context, the landscape, their mannerisms, that part is really intriguing because it like also illustrates what it's like to be with that person like 360, like the experience rather than just like, you know, superficial
just the conversation.
Judgments.
Yeah. And I think part of that, the person you're interviewing also knows that. Mm-hmm. So almost the idea, you're not actually just having a regular conversation with them. They know this is going to be in an article that's going out. So they're not acting necessarily exactly how they would act if you weren't there.
I think it totally depends on the person who's being interviewed. Like, you know, like a Jack Nicholson, I don't know why he comes to mind, but Jack Nicholson would not be like putting on an air of like anything because he's not like, I don't fucking care what you think, write what you want, I'm Jack Nicholson. Whereas like a Meghan Markle might want to like produce her image way more than like Jack.
Yeah, this definitely came off produced, I would say. I think she's really kind of annoying, personally. I find her annoying.
Well, it's good that you didn't listen to the podcast because you would think
that
more.
Can you tell us about the podcast?
Yeah, tell us about the podcast and we can discuss them both together.
Okay, so the podcast, the theme of the podcast, which is explained in the article, is that she's doing a series of episodes on different archetypes that women get stereotyped as. And she's interviewing kind of a public figure who fits into having been stereotyped or archetyped, she says, in that way. So Serena Williams was ambition, Mariah Carey is diva, and Mindy Kaling is next. I'm not sure what she's going to be covering. But so the concept of the podcast, I think, is really, really good and really powerful because she's speaking to these really good people who represent those, you know, words that women want to reclaim or that it would be good for women to reclaim. So I think it's like kind of an important podcast in that way. However, the way it's produced is like sort of semi-scripted with the interview cut in with like Megan's comments and context. And There's like audio clips added in, which isn't a bad way to produce it, but it's sort of, if she wants to come across as more real, I don't think this is how she should have produced the podcast, because it comes across like as she's like acting in her role. Mm-hmm.
She's trying to, I can picture
this.
Image.
I can picture this exact way. I'm sure she's just like, didn't want to like, she, maybe she's not like, doesn't see herself as an interviewer necessarily. So she wanted it to make it even more edited.
Right.
You know,
but the parts where she is not semi-produced, where she's actually speaking to Serena Williams as her friend, is like really good.
Okay. I'm going to listen. Although I'm right now listening to a book, so I don't know when I'm going to listen.
I just think like the thing that's not, is sort of implied but not being said, is that Megan is just like, she's an opportunist and she's like very ambitious and she did a great job of getting to where she was now with the skill set that she has. But like, it's just, I mean, again, there's all those like a little annoying things in the article. Like, we didn't think we could afford this house. Mm-hmm. Like, shut up.
That was ridiculous.
Like, there's so many little, like, that it reminds me of the feeling I felt when they were interviewing her when she first met Harry. And she's like, and I just asked, moment. Is he nice? Like,
kind.
No, yeah. That's not. Kind. Is he kind? That's not why you dated Harry. That's not why. He's not even that nice.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's what would be believable. And I think that I got a lot of replies to my comments about the article, and the very common theme, and I will say this is like mostly from white women, is like people want to understand or like her, but they find that she reads as fake and that she reads as like contrived. And I feel that, but I also understand kind of now, especially listening to her episode with Mariah Carey, where they talk about the experience of being mixed and like kind of not really, you know, understanding, you know, like your context racially. And I think that her like curatedness has been a response to not under, maybe like not having fully processed her place in the world. And then she gets thrown into this really high profile world where
is she thrown into it?
I mean,
or is it a calculated decision?
Well, here's the thing. You could look at it like, oh, it was this like evil manipulative thing that she did. Or maybe she just like liked the guy and like got into it and like did it lots of. Okay. We can't like debate her. Like, I don't know how she feels about him, but the point, but this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, you're like this assumption that it's calculated, but I'm saying like in reality, like probably she's in this role and she is scrutinized at a level that like, most people who ultimately end up that scrutinized at that level have so much more like protection and privilege and like savvy around it. And I think she's just kind of trying to like, she basically puts up this front, I think, that she would be so much more likable. I hate to use that word. If she would like drop the real thing, like instead of asking, is he kind? She probably was like, well, is he an asshole? Because he's Prince Harry. Like that would make her feel real.
Right. I didn't even think about the fact that he was a prince. That's basically what she said. Like she basically said that had no.
Did she say
bearing
that?
On basically that's what she implied in the interview. If you like, she was like, I didn't really. I was like, who is he? Who is he? Like,
I need to go back and watch it because this was now years ago. But like, they stayed together. I don't think it's like she's playing this 6-7 year long game because she has no feelings.
I'm not saying she doesn't like him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the reason she is with him is not because he is kind. She just found the kindest guy on the block. She was like, who's the kindest person that I could date? Is it the guy who dressed up as a Nazi for Halloween 10 years ago? Is that the kindest person in the room? I don't think so. I just don't.
I mean...
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, obviously, he's not. She wasn't looking for the nicest guy on the block. That would imply that she's the nicest on the block. You know, like, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, I do feel that, like, I do want to give her the benefit of the doubt in a lot of ways. But I also do wish that she would drop the mask a little bit and she would win people over. If the podcasts were, like, a little bit more just, like, she was not acting like
she felt authentic.
Right, but it's hard for her to be.
There is an authentic aspect, though, like in the beginning when she was dating him, like she was like hardcore royal trained and like media trained. And like perhaps she's not that great of an actress. And, you know, she just like can't, she's not allowed to sort of be herself because of the training. So that is a part of it to give her the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, I just doesn't read that genuine, but like if you aren't being genuine, then it wouldn't read genuine unless you're like amazing right. actress, which Suits was.
She kind of, okay.
Here's not to say that I don't think that she's like a very impressive person. I think the fact that she is where she is now is a very impressive and is a nod to her, again, like determination and a skill set that she has. I find to be interesting and impressive.
They say that in the article. They say like her best, she's at the best at like envisioning a life for herself and getting it.
Yes, that's an impressive skill.
The article has some very astute observations, like this quote unquote like calculatedness. They call that like the bachelor producer in her head. And it does kind of
which is a
sound
media
like
training
that.
In your head.
Yeah. The treatment she gets and the way she reacts to it really reminds me of Hillary Clinton. And it makes sense because, like, Hillary was sort of the first woman in her position, like, this first lady who, like, kept her maiden name and people were always – and was very, like, politically active. And people kind of demonized her from day one. And I think ultimately what that did is that caused her to, like, become less authentic because she was always trying to, like, fit into this box and be this person. And I think Meghan being the first American and – half black woman and divorced woman in the royal family, I think she's sort of experiencing that same like treatment, A, by the press, and B, like her reaction is like, okay, let me like wiggle myself into this role that isn't, that like I think will make me be untouchable, but is actually just not reading as authentic.
Right. And I also just think it doesn't read as authentic because the reason she has this can have this podcast and have this Montecito home that, oh, we didn't have any money. We found somehow
yeah, like,
stumbled
it's really
upon.
Like you have to make those like, comments.
Like, it's just also like the reason she's able to have this life is because she did marry into that royal family. Like she wasn't that good of an actress, but she did make the right moves to get her to this point. But like, part of that was this whole controversy surrounding the royal family. Part of, like, she had to do every single one of these steps in order to get this podcast that is now the number one podcast. Like, it's not because she's such a great interviewer that she has the number one podcast out there, because she's such a good podcaster, because she's so talented at making movies. It's because she is who she is, because she married this person who gave her, who, and by the second she started dating Harry, her whole life changed. And part of it is because of all that stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And there's no real acknowledgement of that. And I think, to me, that's the part that, that's what's not being said. And that's just like the obvious truth.
Right. I mean, I think she's fascinating because partly because she has this layer, it feels, between her and like who she is and her observers, I guess. But I think listening to the podcast is really interesting for that reason, because she's speaking to peers, essentially, or people who are like close to peers. So they're not, she can't script them. So one really interesting thing that happened in the Mariah Carey episode, and I thought that was like a really, listening to Mariah Carey and Serena Williams is like deeply interesting just on its own. But Mariah Carey,
looking forward to that.
Especially about like Mariah Carey talking about the topic of being called a diva, is, that's like gold. Come on. So Mariah Carey at one point kind of calls Megan a diva. And she's like, you have a little diva. And Megan, you can tell, gets very, like, you can't edit out her reaction entirely. She gets very, you can tell she gets like offended a little bit. And then Mariah's like, oh, you look like chic. And Mariah had said earlier in the episode that the term diva, she both takes it as like a compliment and an attack, because it can mean both, like, and the meaning of it has changed over time. It can mean like very chic and very glam and like, you know, over the top, or, but it could also mean like high maintenance and like
demanding,
difficult. Yeah. So Megan, after the interview ends, she splices in her own commentary about Mariah Carey calling her a diva. And she's like, she talks about her own reaction. And the way she talks about it is like, she sort of admits to being offended, but then she wants to like tie it up in a little bit of a bow of like, we have to reclaim these things. And I'm like, I understand your point. I can't argue with it. It's kind of unassailable.
It's just only positive. The whole thing is only positive about it.
Does she have a sense of humor? Does Megan have a sense of humor?
I'm sure Harry's hysterical.
I don't really get the sense that she has a sense of humor. But I do get the sense these women who are who she's speaking to like her. So while she doesn't seem particularly like funny and light and loose, she seems to be liked by the people she's speaking.
I just mean the sense of humor thing is because it's like, it's one way to like want to like put that in a bow and take it so seriously, and another way is be like, yeah, I guess I could be a diva.
No, she does not think it
was
fun.
That's what I mean.
Like, no, she did not think it was she did not think like, oh yeah, sometimes I can be a little, there was no.
Right.
And that's what I think is missing. If she could be like, right, yeah, sometimes I can be a little ridiculous. Yeah. We all can.
A little bit of a Lisa Rinna, own it.
Right.
But even Lisa Rinna's
no, like
awful.
More just like
just owning it a little bit.
Like, yeah, I have my moments. We all have our moments.
Yeah, like a little self-awareness, right, or just.
Yes, it lacks any of that, like,
no self-deprecating.
But Mariah Carey had that, which is why like Mariah Carey and Serena both understood their own, you know, relationship with those words. And it's really interesting. The format is interesting. Megan asked them to use three words that would describe them as themselves as a child and themselves now. So it's a good podcast. I really like it.
Do you like it because Megan is such a good interviewer?
No, most of it isn't even like truly an interview. That's what I don't like about it. It's like interview comments spliced in with commentary and audio clips.
Okay.
But I really like hearing from those guests on those topics. And I think I think what is ultimately being said with the podcast is not the most profound, but it is, I think it, like, I'm happy that it's being made. So.
Because when else would you get to have these, like, hear about these conversations?
Yeah.
It's very, like, behind the doors.
Yeah.
The guests seem great. I wonder how she managed to get such good guests on her podcast.
The same way she got a $14.65 million home from no home.
It's so weird, from being unemployed to living in a $14.6 million house overnight.
Suits is very
No, but she said when they were window shopping, right. She was unemployed.
It's like you would think if you're just window shopping, even if you're really rich, like you go from zero to 14. Like it's crazy.
Sometimes you got to go hit the max budget.
No jobs.
I thought the part with Harry, too, when he like pops into the interview was also funny because it just also reinforced that he doesn't really have anything to say.
Wait, him? Okay.
My love. The tree is interesting. Harry and I are like salt and pepper shakers. One cannot, you can't pass one without the other.
Right, like that shit.
I vomited just a little bit in my mouth.
They're not together. They're separated.
It's hard to believe that she didn't plan those comments in advance. Like, it's hard to believe she didn't have a bunch of adages in her back pocket that she was going to bring up with the cut interviewer. And it's like she sees herself playing a role and then she plays the role rather than just like this. But I do want to shade Harry for a second because that was so the part of him talking about how they were like running a business was so funny because like
Harry
they described
does not know how
office.
To run a business.
they describe the office that it's like two of them sitting next to each other facing out at a desk.
It's just like, you know, it's almost like such a millennial annoying thing.
Right. But here's the thing. What he was doing before with the royal family, that actually was a business. That was a real family business.
Like, right.
A very right. old, very well-oiled
that he had nothing to do with business. Managing. Right.
No, it's just, he was just like an account manager. Client facing. Right.
That's sort of the annoying, absurd part about the Harry thing, which the interview is not about Harry, but he's, you know, they're talking about Harry and it's like, oh yeah, we just run the business from our two throne-like chairs and our office and our $14.5 million house. It's like, Harry's not running shit. Harry doesn't know how to do anything. And it's just the idea, like, Harry decided one morning that, like, he was going to be the media mogul of this business. Like, he doesn't know how to do anything.
But here's the thing. I actually believe that if either one of them is working, it's Meghan. Meghan's
sure.
definitely,
yes,
like,
definitely.
It knows how to correspond with an agent and a publicist and, like, get a team intact.
She hustles.
And, right. Meghan yeah. knows how to hustle. So
she was
anything,
in Deal or
like,
No Deal.
if there's any business being run, which there is, I'm sure, like, there's correspondence being run. You know, there's things happening. Meghan's the one doing it.
That's why it seems like she's definitely running the show. It's just funny because, like, she talks about them as if there's such like this power couple of like they're so well matched, they're salt and pepper. But it's like, what is like, it's like he is clearly not doing anything. And he's a very strategic marriage for her to get where she is now. And again, I think it's very impressive that she's such a hustler. But like, don't pretend like you just happen to find your perfect soulmate match. And that's why you're with Harry. It's like his role in this is not because he's your equal. His role in this is because he is like the person that got you to this level just by the marriage itself, not by him being skilled at all.
Well, think about it like in terms of like almost think about it this type of business where she's like the founder and he's the investor. But in this case, the investor's not investing money. He's just investing
his title.
Harry, my yes. existence that powers the company. So, like, they don't really need, like, capital to run anything. It's literally just, like, his name and the fact that they were royal and her actually, like, running what are we going to do and, you know, how are we going to monetize the name?
Yeah.
You can kind of see why the royal family's not happy about that.
Well, she played them really well.
Good for her. Meghan, yeah. good
and
for
I
her on that.
She doesn't want to come off as, like, manipulative or, like, you know, sneaky.
Which is why she should be more real.
Yeah, she played the royal family against itself and
like
she did
a
great job and that's really impressive and she's getting the best of all worlds. Like the article also mentions, she's royal but doesn't have to like play by any of those rules. She's rich, she's extremely famous and she got like the best of anything that you could possibly get while marrying into that family without actually having to deal with that family. And I imagine Kate Middleton is probably like jealous. That's like an impressive thing.
Kate,
no one's been able to do
I
it like that.
Kate, maybe Kate wants to be, I don't know. Kate's going to be
I
like,
think, I don't
queen.
Know if Kate's jealous. I don't know. I don't know if Kate's jealous. Kate, Meghan's an American.
Be.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Like But Kate's not American. So it's very American of us to be like, ooh, like she played them. And like, you know what? The family has done worse to a lot of people. So I'm not, you know, good. What'd she do?
She killed anyone. Like, oh my God, the poor Queen heir. Elizabeth. Poor queen. Yeah. Like Kate married the heir. Like she's in line for the throne. Like that's true history.
Whereas, that's true. Right.
Like Harry is a chance, but not really a serious. No, he doesn't have a chance. He's a very slim chance.
I don't think Kate's jealous.
Like she's just whoever Harry would have been with, it would just been like somebody who's there and just there to take photos and interviews. And like, they don't really have a historic place. Like, especially if Diana wasn't Diana, like it would have just been a person in the family.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure they're mad because the 25th anniversary of Diana's death was yesterday. So I have a feeling that, you know, the royal family definitely does not love that she came out with this like 2 days before.
Yeah. I just wish there was some sort of acknowledgement on her and Harry's part that the whole reason they can do any of this stuff is because of this family that they constantly talk shit about. And I'm not saying the family's great. There are obviously a lot of terrible, horrible things about them, but just acknowledging that in the large moving pieces of like what's going on and not just pretending they're inherently super talented. That would be, for me, really refreshing. That would be the part that I would be like, okay, I'm buying this a little bit more.
Maybe she'll say it in one of her interviews. I guess
maybe
we'll
she'll
see.
Put it in her Instagram bio.
All right.
Did we cover it? I feel like we really
We covered, you know, Meghan. There were more things I wanted to talk about, but we don't have time. We can see next week. Because we had the VMAs, the whole Olivia Wilde for like Shia LaBeouf, but that's not over. So I'm sure that'll be more to discuss next time. And, you know, Jafleck made a dance. There was a leaked dance from the wedding that she performed for Ben Affleck, which was really, and she's pissed because they were apparently supposed to sign NDAs for this wedding and like somebody leaked it. And she's really mad. But anyway, did you watch the dance?
I watched a part of it. It's a little almost reminds me of like something you would see in like an 80s, like, I don't know.
No, like it just seems so normal. Like, because people do dances for their partners, whether it's the husband or whatever. One of them does a dance. And it just was so funny. She did like this dance.
It's like a little embarrassing.
Performance.
But like cute. It's like kind of like anything you would see. It's cute, like, but a little embarrassing, I think.
Right.
Like whenever you see like a wife performing for her husband or a husband performing for his wife, you're like, this is kind of cute. It's a little embarrassing. That's probably, although if it wasn't embarrassing, she wouldn't care that the video was out. She probably would have put it out herself. There's something a little like cheesy about it.
Which I liked.
Or maybe she was just like, this is a private moment.
Yeah, this is a private moment.
I think maybe she's mad that someone like betrayed their trust. That would be, for me, that it would be like, feel like an invasion of privacy more. And like, I care that anyone's seeing this because
like somebody that I invited to the wedding is selling this to whatever. But maybe it was like a accident. Anyway, the dance was cute. It made me like think about their relationship more.
It's a little cheesy to me, I thought.
No, I mean cheesy in a cute way. Cute cheesy, like in a sense that like they seem more normal. It like humanized them a little bit to me because she's this like huge performer and she's just sort of like doing a little dance for Ben, who you would never think would be like into that, but he was. And
why wouldn't he be into it?
Or why would he?
His public persona doesn't seem like he would be into that.
If he wasn't into it, would he say something then?
You know what I mean? Like, because the way that he carries himself publicly does not seem like he would be into that kind of thing, but he is with J-Lo. So, and you know.
I wonder if he is into it or if that's just a part of her he's not that into and he's pretending.
Or this whole thing is a PR stunt. And this leak, really. And this leak is a PR stunt.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah, and now I question my fucking gullibility.
Maybe they heard us say that we feel that this is fake. So they were like, let's leak something.
We're not the only ones to say that. Like, there's many people who say that.
I'm kidding.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, J-Lo listens tunes in every week.
Thursday at 5:30 p.m.
Lean, think.
J-Lo, if you're here, show up in the reviews, please.
Yeah, show up.
So, guys, who are we sending to Cayman Islands Purgatory to in Delta Comfort Plus to sell timeshares this week?
Well, who are our options? We've got Leo.
John McEnroe.
No, I like John McEnroe.
He's just an option. I'm not saying you have to send him.
He narrates Never Have I Ever, which was great.
Yeah, I think that's so funny. We could send, we could send Megan, you could send Harry.
You could send the cut writer.
Maybe
if we were, look, if we talked about Carrie, the VMAs, I would send Young Gravy to the Cayman Islands. I'm going to be honest. We didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Sure, that
I'm
works.
Sending Young Gravy to.
for naming himself Young Gravy, he needs to be sent away to humble himself.
To humble himself in the Cayman Islands. By the way, that whole thing with Addison Rae's mom was so cringy. Did you see the pictures of it? It was such a PR thing. She was awkward. It was so uncomfortable to watch. I've never wanted to just like click my phone and throw it across the room more. But so in my book, but we didn't talk about it, but I guess we just talked about it. He's going to the Cayman and he's staying there.
I'll go with that because I don't like that I have to know about this person whose name is Young Gravy. Like,
how did he develop the name?
Maybe he, what do you think? Thanksgiving? I don't know.
A Young Gravy.
Okay. And it's like with a U.
No, not Y-O-U.
It's just U.
Y-U-N-G?
Yeah.
Young Gravy?
Spelled how it sounds.
Young.
Okay.
Well.
Interesting.
You can learn how to spell it in the Cayman Islands.
Yes. His name is Young Gravy.
His real name is Matthew, of course. Of course, His real name is Matthew. He's going to come back from the Cayman Islands after selling timeshares for 6 months, and he's going to be Matthew again.
He has to sell under the Matthew name. He's from
Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay.
His father was a Swiss-American insomnia psychologist.
I'm going to think he met my mom at camp.
Where did he develop his love of gravy?
He went to University of Wisconsin.
Do you have any idea about the origin of gravy?
Oh, interesting. He holds a Swiss and American dual citizenship.
Just like Sammy's mom almost did if she had stayed at Swiss camp.
Guys, full circle.
Maybe he went to camp with your mom. Oh, he's a little young for her.
Maybe he went to the same camp as my mom.
Well, he probably would have dated her.
It says his musical style has been described as humorous, satirical, and groovy. Sammy, listen to a song.
Yeah, I want to hear Young.
What if your mom called you after this episode and she was like, "I met a guy. His name is Young Gravy."
I would be like, "What?
He's taking me to the VMAs."
I would be like, "Okay, that sounds fun. What the fuck are you doing? I'm coming over now. You're not going."
Ugh, the whole thing when they kissed for the cameras, I wanted to just I couldn't handle it. That is it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
I'm at Sammy, and we will be back next week with the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.